Sure.
Okay, let's continue. So now I'm going to sketch a computation of this two-point function of stress energy tensor at Huggington temperature from a holographic point of view. So the metric after you take g-string goes to zero limit, finite energy density in the horizon limit, and weak rotate looks like this. So this is a cigar with linear dilaton, and we know an exact conformal field theory, which whose target metric is this. Of course, we can only trust supergravity when k, the number of the five brain, is very very large. But since we know exact conformal field theory, we actually know the description of NS5 brains at finite temperature for any k. And the conformal field theory is very similar to the one which describes little string theory in double scaling limit. So this procedure of separating brains and taking string coupling to zero is called double scaling limit. So the string theory that describes five brains at finite temperature is very similar. It again involves it involves five-dimensional space across the cigar SL2 mod U1 cosert cross SU2 at level K. So this is the thing. And for computations, we really only need this part.
Do you have thermal on your side?
Yeah. So this cosert, well, the good thing about this cosert, SL2 mod U1, is that the correlators in the coset are related to correlators in the underlying SL2 Zeumann-Witten model, which are known. So they're related by some Fourier transform.
Is there an obvious reason to see why which U1 is relevant for that? You know, you have two U1s in this, and you're undoing a U1 roughly by making it, I mean, combining the circle with time.
In this
yeah.
story?
Yeah, because otherwise you wouldn't get
so, yeah, there. The
no, which U1 versus SL2 versus SU2, I'm asking.
Yeah, otherwise you wouldn't get.
The oh, you mean signature. The signature, I see.
Well, also that cost set, SU2 mod U1 is going to be, the space is going to be finite. Well, you know that it's SL2 mod U1 which is going to give you this geometry in classically with infinite Dalton direction. So the observables in this, well, before I talk about the observables, I should mention that one can, asymptotically, the cigar looks like a cylinder with linear dilaton. So one can write down the exact expressions for the generators of n equals 2 superconformal algebra. And roughly, well, G plus, for example, it's going to look something like this.
I guess my question is that
Why don't we have R5 times S1 times this? Why is it not that?
Well, five dimensions. Ah, good. So five-dimensional space is the world volume, the spatial part of the world volume of NS5
yeah.
brains. And now the temporal direction must be compactified.
Yeah, no, I know. But why should that mix up with the extra piece? Couldn't that just be an S1 times what you have?
Like T-duality, you can always do that.
Well, you know what the geometry is. So when you take... When you start with the finite temperature and the five brains, you know what the geometry is. When you take the horizon geometry, you end up with this. So this piece is precisely the SL2 mod U1. So it's basically a statement that semi-classically this CFT reduces to this metric when k is large.
But like T-duality, SU2 mod U1 times U1 is T-dual to SU2.
But can could you have? But is that equivalent to what? In other words, could I have written this as R5 times this times this one? There's a GSO projection and all that. I'm not sure how it's acting in the detail. There's a ZK. He's money up by some ZK
yeah.
in the story.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not sure how that's going to enter the
okay.
story. But just wanted to know if you multiply this naively by u1. Usually when you have trace e2 minus beta h, all you have is a circle with a period beta.
So what geometry do you want to write down?
Naively thought it's R5 times S1 times that.
R5 times S1 times the linear delta?
No. Times SL2 over u1 times S2 over u1.
Uh-huh. So, well, there would be two circles in this case.
Two circles?
Oh, you say it's this.
I'm just saying, why did you write the most naive way? Yeah. Times u1. Maybe it's a covenant to that, but
you say it's this.
That would have been my most naive way of writing.
Mm-hmm. You just have to check what the radius of the u1 is. If the radius of the u1 is right,
there's a mod ZK that you act on only the first two factors, not on that u1. I mean, it's not naive, it's just a product. It's a GS of, there's a ZK modded out by that.
Yeah, that's
if
right.
If the radius is right, then it's automatic.
Is it, well, is that true? In other words,
the
does they cancel there?
Yeah, well, I would guess they would. Yeah, I would guess that acting by GSO projection, this, you'll get this.
Well, the radius of the circle is arbitrary, it's temperature. So he's one of the U1s is variable temperature. That's the radius of the last U1. So it's not that simple.
Well, but the temperature is related to K.
The temperature is
fixed in terms of K.
That's the point. That's
right. Okay, that's the key.
So roughly speaking, in supermoon, it's K.
Okay, so that's the magic of that. Okay, same time.
Okay, so this is the formula for G plus, and similar formulas are for G minus and for the current. And
so this, without dividing the S2 by U1, is supposed to be the what? I mean, it's the black hole.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it is a black hole. It's a two-dimensional black hole. Only the level is not that. So the level of this theory is 3 plus 6 over k. So if you want two-dimensional black hole, then this must be equal to 15. And in this case, so their case fixed by the requirement, total central charge being equal to 15. But in this case, k can be anything. It's just a number of...
But why is, what does it mean that the temperature is uniquely fixed by k?
Well, the solution for the black hole will give you basically, you will get this solution, right, for non extremal Lorentz library. And if you require that there is no singularity, the geometry, but you look at the Euclidean time, you will see that the radius of this time direction has to be fixed in terms of k.
But what's the physical meaning of that? That the NS5 brains can only be in equilibrium at that temperature?
Well, no. When the string loop corrections are included, you can tune the temperature away from the Hagedorn.
Yeah, on the gravity level, it just meant that this was completely the Hagedorn.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the statement that the temperature is independent of the energy is, as I was writing it at some point, is equivalent to a statement that entropy is linear in energy, so there is a Hagedorn density of states. So, so the observables in this coset theory are related to observables to vertex operators in the Vesuminovitan theory, and they are labeled by two numbers, J and M. And the asymptotic form of these observables in the regime far from the tip of the cigar is known, and it looks something like J. It roughly looks like this, I think. Except, of course. Oh, sorry, yeah, there is. So that's asymptotic form. Where phi is the direction on the cigar and tau is this Euclidean time. Now, so we know what happens as we act by superconformal generators on these things. In particular, G plus minus half GJM will be psi GJM. and g minus minus half h a m will be psi star h a m, where psi is psi phi plus I psi tau of square root of 2. So these are the super partners of phi and tau. So now we want to construct vertex operators that are going to be dual to Stas-Engel tensor. And the matter part of the vertex operator that is going to be dual to Stas-Engel tensor with the x component is going to look like e to the I q z. And again, I'm polarizing. I'm sending the excitation along the z direction. Then, naively, there would be psi z times psi tilde x. So these are left movers and right movers, vjm. But of course, this operator is not Bierce invariant. So you can check that if you add by g plus 1/2 on this thing, you're not going to get zero. So to make it Bierce invariant, one needs to, well, of course, there are these symmetrized terms. So to make it Bierce invariant, one needs to add some coefficient times psi phi, where phi is this direction, which is not in the world volume. So it's a direction perpendicular to the world volume. So here we also need to add some a times psi phi. Now all of this multiplies vjm. Well, now this operator, this matter part, this is the operator in minus one picture, the matter part of it. And a can be determined by requiring it to be Bierce invariant, it's a number. And the important consequence of Bierce invariance is that j and m are related by, that's essentially a physical state condition, so they're related by this formula. 1, ok, plus m squared, ok, equals 0, oh, sorry, plus q squared, 0. So, over 2. So that's a relation between j and m and q. Now m is of course related to the frequency of the excitation, to the Euclidean frequency of the excitation. So if we know the two-point function of this operator as a function of j, m, and q, we know the by holographic duality the Green's function of Stas-Engel tensor as a function of omega and q. And computing this two-point function is a CFT exercise. Well, this has been done, and the result is the following. Yeah. So the result is a bunch of, well, there is an interesting prefactor. Well, now I erase these things. So now I want to introduce again this crossed omega, which is omega over 2 pi t, cross q, which is q over 2 pi t. Both of them are much more than one. The result for the Green's function of the shear mode is this. Yeah, I'm going to only write pieces which are going to be relevant for the poles. Now there is gamma minus 2j minus 1. So these terms come from the Fourier transform. And I analytically continued back to Minkowski space. J gamma 2j plus 2 gamma squared. So this is the result, and J is related to, we just use this formula, this equation, which relates J and M and Q. M is, of course, proportional to crossed omega. So J is related to omega and Q as follows. Minus 1 half plus square root 1 minus cross squared plus Q squared over 2. Now, since it's a quadratic equation, there is a choice of sign here that has been made. That choice is dictated by the fact that we want vertex operator which creates a non-normalizable mode in the cigar.
Isn't there a gamma factor missing, perhaps?
Yeah, there is. But as I said, I'm only writing terms which are going to be relevant for the poles.
But the last poles, usually the two-point functions of these.
Well, and also
spheres are four gamma functions.
Yeah, but also remember that these guys are much smaller than one. So in this limit, first of all, it's already three gamma. Well, I can write it for you. So 1 minus 2j plus 1. Okay. Gamma 2j plus 1. Okay. So in the hydrodynamic regime, where both of these guys go to 0, j goes to 0 as well. So this is just a constant. And the poles are coming from this prefactor, this gamma function, and also there will be zeros coming from this gamma function.
Why did you choose plus then?
Sorry? Oh,
why
good, good, good. Well, as I was saying, the choice of sign is dictated by the fact that you want a vertex operator which creates a non-normalizable mode on the cigar. That's in ADS-CFT correspondence. You want, when you compute two-point function on the boundary, you want them to create non-normalizable modes in the bulk. That's actually going to be important in something that hopefully I'll have time to discuss. Okay, so let's analyze.
I think that the modes which are very slow moving and very low energetic, why couldn't you just do supergravity, especially when you come to three levels?
Well, in principle, because there can be a strong curvature at the tip.
Yeah, but just at the tip, and since the wave function operators are very large, they most probably wouldn't see the tip.
Well, if they don't see the tip, then yes. Well, in fact, we will see that, in fact, our results are going to imply that the interaction at the tip is negligible, but I'm not sure if you can a priori state that supergravity is the correct description.
The wave function of the characteristic length of the excitation, if it's very large.
Well, but maybe they interact strongly near the tip. In fact, you know that in little string theory, there are these states which live near the tip, and by sending excitations from
these are exactly not those states. These are
Well, it's actually not clear what the hydrodynamic pole corresponds to, which of these states, because of this prefactor. Okay, so let's analyze the poles. So this guy has a zero when omega squared plus j q squared is zero. And the solution of this equation is omega squared equals minus q to the fourth 2, and j is q squared over 4. So there are two double poles. So from this term alone, there are two double poles at omega equals plus or minus I q squared over 2. But now from the numerator has zeros exactly at the same point. So instead of two double poles, we get two single poles at these values. And one of these poles, when omega is plus I q squared over 2, is cancelled by zero, which comes from this gamma function. So in the end, we're getting a single pole at omega crossed equals minus I q squared over 2, or if we switch back to omega and q notation, it's a pole at omega equals minus I or 4 pi t times q squared. But remember, this coefficient is S, sorry, is eta over, well, first of all, we observed that it's a good hydrodynamic pole. That's the thing that was predicted by hydrodynamics. And second, we observed that eta over S is exactly 1 over 4 pi and doesn't receive any alpha prime corrections here. Oh, good. Well, I'm going to talk about them. So there are two more poles in the hydrodynamic regime, which come from this gamma function. Well, in fact, there is a whole bunch of poles, but I'm only going to be talking about hydrodynamic poles. So for them, j goes to zero. And so as j goes to zero, there is a pole here. So j going to zero corresponds to omega equals plus or minus q. So in the hydrodynamic regime, this Green's function looks like omega plus q, omega minus q, omega plus I 4 pi t q squared. Now these are clearly problematic poles from the hydrodynamic point of view because they correspond to modes propagating with the speed of light on the five brain. I'll talk about them shortly. Before I talk about them, I just wanted to mention the corresponding result for the sound mode. Now, for the sound mode, we are getting a double pole. So instead of this structure, well, the computation is very similar, so I'm not going to repeat it. I'll just state that instead of this structure, we get, again, same poles at plus minus q, but also double poles in the lower complex plane. Now, if you look back at this formula, these two guys actually are going to merge into a double pole if the speed of sound is zero, which is indeed the case at the Hagedorn temperature, because speed of sound squared is dp by d energy, and p behaves like log energy, so it vanishes as energy goes to infinity, which is exactly where the Hagedorn temperature is located. So again, we are getting something we expect from hydrodynamics, and in addition, we can compute the value of bulk viscosity in addition to shear viscosity here. And it turns out to be positive, as it's supposed to be. So what we get is eta over s is 1 over 4 pi, and zeta over s is 1 over 10 pi. So that's the result for NS5 brains. Now these problematic poles are actually very interesting. And there are similar poles which arise in a closely related system. Unfortunately, I erased it. But as I was saying, little string theory at zero temperature in double scaling limit is described by similar string theory holographically. So it's this. And poles in the correlators of the sort in this theory usually correspond to the states in little string theory. Kutasov, Aharoni, and Givon studied these poles, and what they found is while some poles, some low energy poles, match states in low energy theory, some poles don't correspond to any states in the low energy theory. And these poles, which they called non-LSD poles, come from coupling to highly excited modes, all excited modes which live far from the tip of the cigar. So what they said was in the low energy limit of the theory, the UV and IR don't decouple. And the correlator not only picks up contributions from physical states in little string theory, which in string language correspond to states which live near the tip of the cigar, but also picks up contribution from highly excited states. So the UV doesn't decouple. And the poles that they were referring to were precisely of this type. So in a sense, we get hydrodynamic pole and all other poles which might be associated with UVIR non-decoupling. Yeah, so... Well, the hydrodynamics didn't predict any excitation with the speed of light. So from hydrodynamic point of view, it is a problem. So hydrodynamics only predicts the existence of a single pole, and we are getting two more. So that, as we speculate, has something to do with this weird UVIR non-decoupling in the theory. Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is it's in contradiction with what you expect from hydrodynamics. So, one possible explanation is this. And, another issue that I want to mention is the fact that we don't get any corrections to the value of 8OS, while in other systems with string corrections, well, this Liu, Buchel, and Starinets studied similar problem in the D3 brain case, and they considered the first subleading alpha prime correction to this 8OS ratio. And what they observed is that this ratio indeed gets corrected. It gets lifted. There is some correction which is suppressed by inverse powers of tooth coupling. It goes up. Yeah. Well, here it stays constant. So again, one may philosophically say that it might have something to do. Well, for them, of course, it was natural because, from the point of view of the conjecture, because this bound should be saturated when the coupling in the gauge theory on the D3 brains is infinitely large. Well, as you decrease the coupling, it starts lifting the ratio. But from the point of view of string theory, it may have something to do with the fact that string theory, alpha prime corrections in the system with Ramon-Ramon flux and alpha prime corrections in the systems with an SNS flux are behaving a little differently. And so in Ramon-Ramon, in the systems with Ramon-Ramon flux, somehow the description that appears involves holes on the worldsheet, while in the system with an SNS flux, that doesn't happen. So, and... they observed that this manifests itself in this in what happens with the ratio at OS. And the final point that I want to discuss is this sign, this plus sign in J. So the little string theory, which I've been talking about so far, is the simplest little string theory that you can think of in some sense. It involves, so the T-dual formulation of this is string theory on R5 plus 1 times Calabi-Yau of this type. So it's six-dimensional LST. But instead of considering Calabi-Yau this type, we can consider more general Calabi-Yau. For example, we can look at the conifold, the generalized conifold. So then the dimension of flat spacetime will decrease to four dimensions. And the level, so when you go through this procedure constructing dual string theory, the level of the coset k prime is going to be related to this k. So in the six-dimensional case, k prime was equal to k. In the four-dimensional case, it will be something like 2k or k plus 2. So in the four-dimensional case, k prime, which is the level of the cigar, is bounded by 1 from above. I'm sorry, from below. And it is known that these states are non-normalizable precisely when J is smaller than K minus 1 over 2. So K prime minus 1 over 2. So in four-dimensional case, this bound is saturated by the conifold. But if you go to compactification on fourfold here, then we'll end up with 1 plus 1 dimensional case, and there the bound is not saturated. There we would expect this whole story to break down somehow, which might be a reasonable expectation because hydrodynamics of a one-dimensional system might be a little bit ill-defined. So I guess that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Any questions? I have a question. Are there any studies of the quantum string quantum corrections in this picture? You're doing two-point function on a sphere.
Yeah. Loop corrections.
Yeah.
Very good question. They would correspond to lowering the energy or changing T from T Hagedorn. That would be an interesting thing to compute because that would correct, presumably that would correct this bound somehow. And, that would be an interesting thing to compute.
But of course, just because of this calculation, one of the calculation, you see that once you put on the correction system, it gets destabilized. So it's not even clear what's going to happen.
Well, it is in some sense as unstable as Schwarzschild black hole. And,
any other questions? Okay, let's thank Andrea.